If you have your Bibles this morning, you can leave them open to that passage that was just read. And we are going to, as I said, going to be considering especially verses 5 through 7 in 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. But as we do so, let's first of all once again pray to our God. Gracious Father, we pray for ourselves this morning what Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, prayed for us. And that is that you would sanctify us, Lord, through the truth. Your word is truth. We pray this morning that you would sanctify us, that you would purify us, that you would cleanse us, that you would strengthen us, that you would edify us, that you would build us up, that you would truly sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One of the happy privileges I have as a pastor of this church is that I get to, on your behalf, receive often thoughts and impressions coming from newcomers or visitors to this church. And it is indeed a happy privilege because time and time again, person after person remarks on what a warm church this is, what a friendly church this is, what a loving church this is. But of course, that is not just Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, although I do like to think and do believe that we are a shining example of that. But nevertheless, this is not just Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, for we have begun last week and are continuing this week a study in 1 Timothy, where Paul writes to Timothy, who has been stationed in Ephesus, to strengthen the church there. And as Paul, just a few years earlier, wrote not to Timothy, but to the church in Ephesus, he penned the following words early on in that letter, in that epistle. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Indeed, also, just drawing in one further and final example, Tertullian, in the late 2nd century AD, was writing. And he was writing and quoting the world out there, the enemies, actually, of the church. And even those enemies of the church, as Tertullian quotes them, were saying, see how they love one another. So whether it's in the 2nd century in Tertullian's writing, whether it's in the 1st century in Ephesus, or whether it's in the 21st century at Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, the question this morning is, what is this love? What is this love that is displayed and needs to be displayed and ought to be displayed within this church? This love that is for another brother, by a brother, for believers towards other believers. Does this love arise in particular situations where the individual personalities are just right in that particular church family? Or does it arise because God in his providence brings together just the right mix of people such that they develop deep friendships and forge those deep fellowships? Where, in other words, does this love come from? Is this love indeed different from any other love? Is this love different from the love that you might know when you get together on Friday night with a group of friends? Is it different from the friendships that are forged on a slow pitch softball team? Is it different from the love that might exist and the deep friendships and fellowship that might exist in some sort of social club here in Cranbrook? Well, this morning we continue this new series in the book of 1 Timothy. We continue on as we do so. We continue on, and this, as I spoke last week, and I will mention a few times, perhaps a great deal of times, But I will mention again just now that one of my purposes and my main purpose in entering into this study is in 1 Timothy is that we learn about the church. For as Paul writes to Timothy, who is to oversee in this placement of oversight over the church in Ephesus, we learn nevertheless in his personal writings to Timothy in that position much about the church. And so this morning, as we continue in this series, we want to continue to learn about the church, about, as I've entitled this series, Life in the Household of God. And this morning, in verses 5 through 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, I've entitled this, The Goal, taking this from the Scriptures, The Goal is Love. The Goal is Love. We begin in verse 5 now. Let's launch into it. We begin in verse 5, and actually, we're going to be spending almost all of our time, actually, in verse 5 this morning. And verse 5 says, Now the purpose, or goal, or aim, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So the first thing that we ought to ask ourselves, and I will ask right now of the text, and then we'll attempt to answer from the text as we so often do, as we always aim to do. What, first of all, is this? What kind of love is this? I've been speaking about the love of a believer for other believers, but is that the case? Is that what Paul is talking about here? We need to pause and first of all consider what sort of love is he talking about. He just says love. Love. So is this love, as I say, of believer for believer, or is this love not of believer for believer, but of love of the believer for God? Which is it? Well, I'm tempted, as I often am, and hopefully appropriately say often in these cases, I'm tempted to say, well, yes. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I am tempted to say that, and I mentioned I'm tempted to include both of those, in other words, because really and truly, one can never fully separate our love for God from our love for our brothers and sisters. Those are inseparable. Those are inseparable. In fact, we could go back one step further and ought to go back one step further, shouldn't we? For our love for one another and our love for God, both of those come from what? From the fact that God first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Nevertheless, back here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am going to select from those three loves because I think the text is. First of all, as important, as supremely important as it is that God first loved us, that's not what Paul is talking about here, for he speaks of a love that is from a pure heart, from our hearts, from our conscience, from our faith. And so therefore, it's either this, a love for one another, or our love for God, or it's both. Well, I'm going to suggest to you, as I began this morning, I'm going to suggest to you that this is a love of believer for believer. And the reason I say so is because, of course, of the context of this. If you were to go back to verse 3b, the second part of verse 3, on through the end of verse 4, listen as I note there that Paul has told Timothy, verse 3, to remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, and this is what I want you to hear, what happens there, which cause love. No, they don't. Which cause disputes. Disputes between who? Disputes between brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister. Which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. In other words, Paul here last week was making the point, as we did last week, that the erroneous and fanciful teachings that were popping up in Ephesus. These fanciful teachings of other doctrines, as we looked at last week, that these teachings of other doctrines lead to disputes. And now we go on to verse 5. Now, or perhaps better at the beginning of verse 5, but on the other hand, the purpose of the commandment is not disputes, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So the context is telling us, as we launch into now verse 5, it's telling us that this love, first of all, is indeed a love of brother with brother, believer with believer. But there remains the next question that we have to answer as we move into verse 5, and that is, what is this commandment, or charge, I believe it is, if you have an ESV this morning, what commandment or charge is he speaking of here? Remember, verse 5, and it's right there before you. Now, the purpose of the commandment, or the purpose of the charge, or the aim of the charge, is love. What is this commandment? What is this charge that he speaks of? Well, once again, consider the context. And it is the case, and it doesn't come through quite as clearly in some of our versions, including my New King James, which has a different translation in verse 3 compared with verse 5, but it is the same word in the original that is translated commandment or charge in verse 5 that is also charge in verse 3. This charge that Timothy was to give to those who are teaching falsely. In fact, the charge that Paul was giving to Timothy, to charge those others, not to teach other doctrine. That's what verse 3 says. Remain in Ephesus that you may charge, same word, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And then verse 5, now the purpose of the charge or commandment is. And so therefore, once again, the context answers the question for us. In verse 5, once again, where we are this week and this morning, what is this commandment? What is this charge which leads on to love? And this is important. We arrive now at the central sort of point of this morning. The charge that Timothy was to give, the charge that was first given to Timothy, and then that charge that Timothy was to give to those other teachers, to put a stop to those other doctrines, those erroneous teachings, those other doctrines that they were teaching. And the charge that comes to Timothy and to those others to teach rather pure and proper and sound doctrine, biblical truth. That charge to do so has as its purpose love. And that's the key point. That's the central point of this morning. That's what Paul is saying in verse 5. The purpose of this charge, to avoid false teaching, erroneous teaching, to proclaim sound doctrine, the purpose of that, he says, is love. Now, we need to pause before moving on and extracting from that and extracting from the text, more importantly, some further points about that. I need to first of all pause because this first and central point can be greatly misunderstood. And perhaps you're thinking a little bit differently here as well. So let me pause here and correct something in case we're thinking this way. Some might say, well, there you go. Doctrine doesn't matter. All that ultimately matters is love. The purpose of all of this is love. So let's just skip straight to the love. That's what matters. All we need to do, all we need to be about is loving one another. We don't need doctrine. Doctrine divides, as some will say. All that we need is love. But that, of course, is missing the point entirely, isn't it? It's missing the point entirely. Again, what did I just say? The purpose of teaching sound doctrine and avoiding erroneous teaching and erroneous doctrine, the purpose of that is to love. So let's flip that around. Let's speak the corollary of that, the implication of that. The implication is you can't have love unless you first of all have sound doctrine and proper biblical truth being taught. You can't have love without that. That's the point this morning. Teach no other doctrine. Teach no other doctrine, as he says in verse 3. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, for what do they cause? They cause disputes. But rather, teach sound doctrine. And again, there's a warning also, not only before verses 5 in verses 3 and 4 that I just quoted again, but as we will see later on in this morning's message, there's a warning also in verses 6 and 7. Verse 5 is surrounded on both sides by warnings. Again, the context is telling us that this is talking about the fact that erroneous doctrine in the warnings on either sides leads away from love, leads to disputing. So rather, we need to teach proper doctrine, for only there comes love. So let's now move on in verse 5, continue on in verse 5, and consider where this sound doctrine comes from. Where this love comes from. We've already noted sound doctrine. We'll come back to that again and again and again in the next few minutes. But there is in verse 5 something further about where this love comes from. Consider verse 5 again. Now the purpose of the commandment is love. From where? Coming out of, literally, where? Out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and out of sincere faith. What is the source of this love that is to be exhibited in the church? The source is three things that Paul identifies: a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. So let's look at each of these individually. First of all, a pure heart. Scripture speaks much of the idea, and Scripture speaks importantly of the thought of a pure heart. My mind immediately goes to Psalm 16. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, comes the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, right there, there's a problem. There's a problem. Because Jesus, as I say, Scripture speaks much of our hearts and pure hearts and the opposite of a pure heart. And Jesus, in a very important passage in Matthew chapter 15 there, tells us what the natural man, the unregenerate man's heart is like. Jesus in Matthew 15 says, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. That's a problem. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has a pure heart. What's our heart like in the natural man? That's what it's like. That's a problem. But thanks be to God, you know where I'm going next, don't you? Thanks be to God that by the grace of God in Christ, and through faith in Christ, received by faith, our hearts can be made pure so that we may ascend the hill of the Lord. And thus in Matthew chapter 5, one more verse here about pure hearts. The simple but wonderful beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall ascend the hill of the Lord, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, let's just backtrack a little bit here. We've seen our hearts as they are in the natural man. We've seen the need for our hearts to be pure. But we want to backtrack, and we've seen how, having been made pure, we can now ascend the hill of the Lord. We can now see God. But let's backtrack a little bit, because I only covered it in one line. Let's focus in a little bit further on this idea of how we move from here to here, that heart that Jesus speaks of, to that pure heart. That pure heart here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, don't lose sight of where we are here ultimately. That pure heart that will issue forth love from a pure heart. How do we get there? This love comes from a pure heart in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And here we go. That pure heart comes from where? It comes from faith, received by faith, the working of the Holy Spirit. It comes through the working of God's word in our hearts. The working of God's word. In other words, where does that pure heart come from? It comes from biblical truth. It comes from the gospel. It comes from sound doctrine. It comes from the word of God. It comes from biblical truth. It comes from the gospel. I can't resist, and I don't mean to bounce around with this morning, but I can't resist one other verse, because Peter says almost the identical point that Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that this love comes from a pure heart. And we know the only way to a pure heart is through the word of God and the working of the word of God in our hearts. And Peter says something virtually identical to this in different words, matching up love and a pure heart and the working of the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Did you hear that? Purified your souls, pure heart. And he comes back to it at the end, a pure heart. And then purified your hearts. How? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. And then it issues forth in sincere love of the brethren. Therefore, he marches back through it backwards. Love one another from that pure heart, which does emerge from obeying the truth, from the working of God's word. So what have we seen with this first one, a pure heart? We've seen the following: truth, biblical truth, leads to a pure heart, leads to love, not just love. We can't get there without that. Number two, back in 1 Timothy, this love is also from a good conscience, not only a pure heart, but a good conscience. And again, we ask the question, how so? How so? How does this good conscience work? And how does this good conscience come about? And how does it issue forth love? Well, it just takes off on the previous one. The one who has, by the working of the Spirit, through the word, had their heart purified. Let me say that again. The one who, by faith and through the working of the Spirit, through the word, has their heart purified, as we spoke of moments ago, that one continues on along a path that continues to be ordered by the word of God, ordered by biblical truth, ordered by that path, ordered by sound doctrine, and therefore leading them and gaining from that a good conscience. And then from that good conscience, Paul tells us back here in 1 Timothy 1:5, issues forth love. Truth, in this case, truth, a good conscience, love. But once again, not just love. Truth, a good conscience, love. Truth, a pure heart, love. And finally, and I think you know what I'm going to do here as well, don't you? Sincere faith. Sincere faith, back in chapter 1, verse 5. What is this faith? Well, the object of our faith is God. The object of our faith is Christ. The one who grants faith is the Holy Spirit by his work of regeneration in our hearts. But the content of that faith are the truths of Scripture, the truths of the Word of God. The content of that faith is the gospel and the biblical truth that is in the gospel. And thus, for the third time and the final time this morning, truth, a sincere faith producing love. Truth, giving us that sincere faith, that proper faith, that true faith, not just any faith, but a faith based on truth. Truth, giving us a sincere faith, and then issuing forth from that love. Finally then, this morning, and in conclusion, some have strayed. So we have seen in these past number of minutes, without God's word issuing forth this pure heart, this good conscience, this sincere faith, there can be no love. There can be no love. That is what we have seen this morning. Thus, last week, what was Paul encouraging Peter last week? Thus, last week, again, I've mentioned this a couple of times, but I say it again this morning. Make sure, I charge those, that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, not love, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Last week, he warns them in verses 3b through 4. And this week, he warns them again, following verse 5, in verses 6 and 7 this morning. Verses 6 and 7. From which some, this sincere faith is what he's talking about in verse 5, some have strayed from that sincere faith. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. They don't even understand those things that they're teaching. And what they're teaching is idle talk. Though they desire to be teachers of the law, what's coming out is just idle talk. And what's the result of that? What's the result of that? No love. No love. So what is the lesson for us this morning? What is the lesson? The lesson is that the church is not simply just to seek to be a place of deep love and deep fellowship. Of course we want that. And of course, what we've seen this morning is that is the goal, that is the aim, that is the purpose. But we don't get there just by seeking to be a place of deep love and deep fellowship. Rather, that deep love of believer for believer, such that the enemies of the church in the second century said, see how they love one another, as Tertullian quotes. So that Paul can write of Ephesus, of their deep love for one another. Such that we can look about us in Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church and see that deep and wonderful love of brother for sister, of sister, of believer for believer. Rather, that sort of deep love, that sort of deep fellowship needs to be, first of all, grounded in and springing forth from what? From biblical truth. And therefore, my love for you this morning, my deep love for you as my church family, even as your love for one another, even as your love back to me, my deep love for you does not come to you because and out of the fact that you are wonderful people. Sorry to say that. Though you are. But that's not the source. That's not what brings about my love for you. Rather, my love for you, and here's the point this morning, folks. My love for you comes from an understanding from Scripture of who you are. Not what I observe necessarily, but comes from the truth of Scripture of who you are and how we are bound together in Christ. It comes from an understanding going right back to the beginning, right through this series. It comes from an understanding of who the church is. It comes from an understanding of that. It comes from biblical truth. Therefore, and finally, let each one of us, and let us as a company of believers, ever place ourselves under God's word. May that always be said of Fellowship Baptist Church, that we place ourselves under God's word. We place ourselves under its authority. We place ourselves there. And let that be where we live. Let that be under the authority of Scripture, under biblical truth. Let that be where we live. Let that be where we live life in the household of God. Let's pray. Father, may Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church truly grow deep in that sort of love that we've been talking about this morning, that sort of deep fellowship, that sort of unity, that sort of oneness that we know in Christ. May Cranbrook Fellowship Church ever exhibit that, live that out. May that ever be seen here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And may that love, may that fellowship be grounded in the gospel, be grounded in biblical truth, in the Word of God. And may the Word of God continue its work in us, producing pure hearts, producing a good conscience, producing sincere faith, that we may love one another as we ought to love one another. And may all of this, ultimately, Father, even that not be the end, not be the supreme goal, but rather out of that, may we bring glory to God. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.